dynamics of Hunger Church.
Be helpful if I turn the mic on. Welcome to worship on this second Sunday of Advent. It's great to worship with all of you here. It's great to see some more people here this morning. It's just nice to see some more faces in here. So starting off with some announcements this week, we've got our Bible study on Ephesians, which will be here Tuesday night at 7 p.m. There's also a Bible study, a virtual Bible study, led by Pastor Giovanni on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you are interested in that, reach out to Pastor Giovanni to get a link to that Bible study. We've also got an update regarding Operation Christmas Child donations. We brought in a total of $653, which was 19 boxes filled and shipped. So thank you to everyone for your generous donations to that. That is a great thing that we're able to do. Now I would like to invite Pastor Giovanni up for the lighting of the Advent wreath. The second candle lit on the Advent wreath is called the Bethlehem candle. It is a symbol of the preparations being made to receive and cradle the Christ child. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was a fulfillment of a prophecy spoken by Micah 700 years earlier. I'm reading our call to worship from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together to worship you. We ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you, direct our attention to your holy word. We pray that we would be filled with your scripture and that we would find our hope in it. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for being a God who listens to our prayers. We pray for those who are suffering, those who are mourning, those who feel totally alone. We pray for those who are afflicted with illness, for the sick, the hurting, the broken, and depressed. We pray for those whose suffering prevents them from being with us today. We think of many who are unable to worship in person with us. We pray for those who have been isolated because of this pandemic. We ask that you would comfort them, those who are feeling depressed and anxious, lonely. We thank you for your promise to be with us always. We pray for all of the leaders around the world that you would give them your wisdom and discernment. And we thank you for the gift of your church, that you have provided a place for us to hear your word, to confess our sins, to receive absolution, and to sing praises to you. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. We ask that our ears would be open this morning to receive your word. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God with our songs and praises.
Oh,
Seated. It is Communion Sunday this week, so following the sermon, we will partake in communion. Now I would like to invite up Pastor Giovanni to deliver the sermon on Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 40, titled The Gift.
Good morning. Love singing those songs. As is our custom, would we please rise for the reading of the gospel? Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. End of reading, and you may be seated. Got a nice long Christmas time reading there. There's joy on Christmas. I look around, see the decorations. This time of year, to be filled with the joy of Christmas. It's the season of giving. We look forward to gifts, don't we? We might not want to say, oh, it's not about that, but we look forward to gifts. Think about that kid who wakes up on Christmas morning to see the run to the Christmas tree and see the gifts, opening up a present, and it's just what they wished for. And they're filled with joy. Or the joy of giving on Christmas, to be a blessing to others, to those who don't have. It's the season of giving. I gotta brag on my wife. My wife is a great gift giver. It must be her love language. They talk about love languages. She really searches for a perfect gift. Something that's quality, something that will bless you. And you know, I know a lot of Christians have that gift of giving. And it's a Holy Spirit gift. We're told in the scriptures, because God is a giver. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And if you're not hoping for a gift on Christmas, if you're not joyful about giving, well, you know, who's that remind you of? The Grinch, right? You're a Grinch. Hate to say it. But it's Advent. It's Advent season. And we're looking forward to Christmas. We're here in church and we're looking forward to, well, look at Advent. Advent from the Latin Adventus, the arrival, means the arrival. We're looking forward to the arrival, the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're looking forward to. That's the gift. And maybe you just don't feel it this year. You know, it's a year where, whew, you're not looking forward to Christmas. Well, 2020 is a year that can really bring out the Grinch in all of us. So let's start with God's promises. Let's go back to God's word. Let's start with Jesus. Let me tell you about how Jesus arrived, how Jesus came quite unexpectedly. The Son of God, a little child. He made himself like us. The Word became flesh. And this was a vital step in the mission of God to seek and save the lost. The Word becoming flesh. Pivotal step. That gift that had to be given. And the story of the first Christmas, when the time came, Jesus, he set it all aside. He set aside all of his privilege, all the place he had, the position he had. He set it aside and became human. He got involved with his creation. And today we see that there were faithful people of God who were living in hopeful expectancy, waiting for the arrival of God's promise, waiting for that gift that God said he was going to give. A man and a woman, waiting for the arrival, looking forward to the Lord's Messiah. Today we read of Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna were among the first to thank God for the gift that he gave us. We read of these two, and you might recall the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. And I'm not saying Simeon and Anna are the two witnesses of Revelation, but we do know that Jesus was brought to the temple for the first time, and you have two people there witnessing, testifying about him. They're testifying about Jesus, Simeon and Anna. What do we learn from Simeon and Anna? For the Messiah. Disciples are instructed to be alert, to be watchful, to wait for the Lord. The watchfulness, it's something that the Lord always encouraged in his disciples. Jesus said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watchfulness. Simeon He has the Holy Spirit's promise. He has the promise of this gift. He has the promise that he will not die before he has seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, Scripture tells us that Simeon was a man who lived in prayerful expectancy of help. It doesn't say he was just this naturally jolly guy and going on and on about Christmas. And he knew why he was hopeful. He was hopeful because he had God's promise. And he was looking for relief. Relief for Israel. Things weren't as they should be. And Simeon was waiting for God to come through. He was waiting for relief. He was looking for comfort. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Simeon knew that the Messiah was the one who would bring consolation to Israel. Consolation. We don't use that word much, but the consolation of Israel. Why did Simeon know? Because the Old Testament scriptures say so. Simeon's Bible, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, it says in various places about the Messiah. In the servant songs of Isaiah, for example. We looked at these last year around Advent time. We looked at the servant songs of Isaiah in the Old Testament that speak of the redemption of Israel, of the one who would come, of the Messiah, of that promised gift. And Simeon, he was righteous and devout. He was a God-fearing man. And he was waiting because he knew he had God's word. He had God's promise. The Father who said that he will deliver. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit in this passage a bit. The Holy Spirit did a special work in revealing the identity of the Messiah to Simeon. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Simeon went into the temple courts at just the right time when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." This is similar to when Jesus told Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." This is divine revelation that Simeon had, a special gift for Simeon. Well, I tell you, Simeon had that unique gift just for him. He took the child Jesus in his arms, and the Holy Spirit testifying, Simeon prophesied, saying to Mary, Jesus' mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign," and goes on. So we see that God does give gifts to his people. Give a very special gift to Simeon here. The gift for Simeon was unique. But we don't lack any good gift. God gave us the ultimate gift in Jesus. We got Jesus. And we've got the Word and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always testifying about Jesus. We see the Holy Spirit active in today's passage. Active in Simeon's life. Active in Anna's life. Pointing them to Jesus. So that they could then go out and point others to Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are active in the church to fulfill God's mission, to go out to seek and save the lost. Simeon took the gift, the child, Jesus, in his arms, and he praised God. And today we can do the same when we receive the sacrament, when we receive Holy Communion. By receiving this as a gift from God, his true presence with us. Emmanuel, the Lord is with us. And that's the best way for us to look forward in these days. In these days, we got to look forward just like Simeon did. He was looking forward with hopeful expectancy for God to come through on his promises. So no matter what we see with our eyes before us, trials and tribulation, no matter what's before us, the best way to look forward is in hope. Because we're grounded in the promises of God in His Word. We take hold of Jesus. We take the bread and we take the cup. And we thank God, much the same way Simeon did. We can thank God, we can praise God, knowing that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from both the Father and the Son, the Comforter is with us. Even in these days, you have the gift of God in your life. These people, Simeon, he was looking for the presence of God, the Messiah. Well, you have that gift in your life. And that should bring you peace, much like it did to Simeon. He said, I can depart in peace. Dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon knows God's promises had been fulfilled. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. That's what he says, because he has the gift of God. He can rest. He can rest with peace, that shalom, that fullness, that satisfaction of knowing that God fulfills his promises. Simeon says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He's the one who brings restoration. This has everything to do with you. Because the gift of the Messiah, the gift that the people of Israel were waiting for so long ago, it's a gift for all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Gentiles simply means nations, to the nations. The gift of salvation has gone to all nations, to all people. God's mission, think about this, God's mission is to give you that gift, the gift of his Son, the gift of salvation. Jesus, his very name means salvation. His gift is bringing you in and giving us and giving to us this gift. God did not spare his own Son, but he gave him up for us all. But if God did this, if God did this for us, won't he freely give us everything else? You know, a good question. I like when we put it as a question. And this is a question from Scripture. It says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? And we have to remember that these days. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? That Christmas gift reminds us that God is for us, that he gave us everything. He didn't spare his own Son, but he gave him up for us all. And I'm hard pressed for time, but we cannot forget about Anna. Anna, she was called a prophet. She worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She was worshiping God like it was her job, or more like it was her life, because her whole life was immersed in God. She was there to witness Simeon prophesy about Jesus. She was there. And Anna came up to them at that very moment when she saw this happening, came up to them, and she too gave thanks to God. And she became one of the first evangelists to spread the news. She told everyone there about the child Jesus. And she got involved in the mission of God. Anna, at 84 years old, at 84, her best day was there ahead of her. Anna lived as a widow for a long time. And it's very sad to be alone. But she wasn't alone, was she? She made the temple her home. She made the house of God her home. It says she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, praying and fasting. And she was in the right place at the right time to have this awesome encounter, to see God's promises fulfilled, to be there when the gift was given. She was there to witness and to evangelize, to tell about Jesus. And we got to see, it's no mistake that Jesus was at the temple that day. Jesus was brought to the temple for a reason. More than sightseeing, he's not just there to see a building. He was there to fulfill the requirements of the law. And Jesus, we see Jesus fulfilling the law even as a little child, as a baby, because his parents were doing their duty. His parents were bringing him up to the temple, as is written in the law of the Lord, which said, every firstborn male will be set apart to the Lord. And the law requires a very specific offering, very specific requirement here in Judaism, to sacrifice a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So we have to remember in this time in first century Judaism, they practiced animal sacrifice at that temple. And this would play into Jesus' ministry, as you know. And we see some of the Jewish people here, with those with the Holy Spirit, they knew that they were looking for the Messiah. They knew that the time was ripe, because the Holy Spirit had revealed what the scriptures said, that the one who would make things right, the Messiah, the one who was righteous, the one who would fulfill the law that we couldn't, the gift of God, Jesus, who is a covering for our sin. Jesus' righteousness, it covers us. And this is the consolation for Israel. Simeon was waiting for consolation for Israel. Anna was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And God's gift was greater than anything that they could even imagine, because it's a gift not only for them, but for all nations, for all peoples. By God's grace, you have been saved. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. Our salvation is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. No one can give you a gift like this except God. Simeon and Anna, we read about, they were among the first to thank God for this gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift that should give you joy in this season. Thank you, God. We praise you, God. So let us come today to Holy Communion with that gratefulness, with that thankfulness, with that praise in our hearts. And let us have hopeful expectation to see God's promises fulfilled as we look forward to the day of the Lord. Stavanger Church, it's my great pleasure to share today with you in the Lord's Supper. God bless you, and amen. Pastor Eric.
Thank you, Pastor Giovanni, and thank you for the reminder of this gift that we have, our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are receiving Holy Communion together. I would draw your attention to the insert on Holy Communion in your bulletin. Holy Communion is intended for those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, trust in Him as Savior and Lord, confess and repent of their sins, and have been instructed in the meaning and proper reception of the sacrament. Our practice at Stavanger is to offer Holy Communion to believers who have completed confirmation instruction, or its equivalent. Children who have not yet been confirmed will receive a blessing. In Holy Communion, the Lord forgives our sins and strengthens our union with Him and with one another. Let us come to the Lord with a confession of our sins. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us.
and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, according to the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now given to you his holy and precious body and blood, made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Please stand and let us give thanks to God for his grace to us. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Through him you have created all things. He was sent to be our Savior. He took on flesh and lived among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, putting an end to death by rising to new life. Amen. Lord, grant by your word and the power of your Holy Spirit that we have received your body and blood, we may be assured once again of the forgiveness of all of our sins and be strengthened by your presence. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is your kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now join us in our closing hymn. hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Amen. Peace.